The 386th edition of the Four Corners Podcast starts right now.
This is the Four Corners Podcast.
I'm the luckiest guy in the world. I've said that. To be in Chapel Hill, to be at the University of North Carolina.
We win! 54-53, North Carolina did it! North Carolina wins the championship!
With 20 seconds left to play, goes back to Michael Jordan, jumper from out on the left, good! Oh, way to Worthy! Worthy 5! The Tar Heels are going to win the national championship!
Weber, front court, Carolina with foul. He takes the timeout.
They're out of timeout.
Technical foul. Technical foul on Michigan. They're out of timeout.
Front court. Williams on the drive. Gets it back out to head. Long outside shot. Short rebounded. May. It's over. Carolina has won the national championship.
89-72. And how about them Tar Heels? They are the national champions.
I've been the luckiest coach in the world.
Pump fake for three. Too strong on the shot. That's it. The Tar Heels are the national daggum champions.
Carolina has been tested and tried and been proven successful through all the years. And the way that we will play will be the Carolina way.
My love for North Carolina, I mean, I love this school, I love these fans, and I love everything about it, and I would die for this school, I really would.
Here are your hosts, Josh Marlowe and Anthony Pagnotta.
Hello and welcome into another live edition of the Four Corners Podcast, coming at you on a Saturday night. Josh and Anthony, we're back with you guys once again, and even though you cannot see Anthony, I can promise you that he is here with us. His connection, not good on the video side of things, but his audio was good. So he's here to hang out with us to talk about the biggest news of the day in Tar Heel land, which was Harrison Ingram officially declaring for the 2024 NBA draft, a decision that kind of just felt inevitable and that finally came to fruition this afternoon. He announced a little after 12 p.m. or right before 12 p.m. that he would be, turning pro after just one season in Chapel Hill. We're here to talk about that, update you the latest in the transfer portal. A lot of news for Carolina on that front as well. But we start every edition of the pod, as we always do, with the pod thought of the day. And today's pod thought comes from Henry David Thoreau. And his thought is, quote, "I have learned that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life he has imagined, he will meet with it a success unexpected in common hours." And I found that quote and I thought, man, that directly replies to Harrison Ingram, a guy that was a former McDonald's All-American, five-star recruit that went to Stanford, transferred after some less than impressive years with the Cardinal, ends up with Carolina, a program that had recruited him initially out of high school by Roy Williams, and Roy Williams was the head coach. And, if you go back to last summer, his transfer portal recruitment was the biggest one that we monitored and was the one that really swung positivity going into this past season, because that's how important of a player he felt like at the time. And he, of course, would end up being that most important, one of the more important players for one of the more fun teams we've had in recent memory, and a team that won an ACC regular season title, made the Sweet 16 of the NCAA tournament, swept Duke in the regular season. And he was at, every turn of all the success that Carolina had this year. And he dreamed of playing on the big stage in college basketball. He dreamed of getting to the NBA. And after his one impressive season in Chapel Hill, he's ready to take his game to the next level. And a big reason why was that he approached the game in a confident and a positive manner, and the game rewarded him with his best season in college. And along the way, he etched his name in the hearts of Tar Heel fans forever.
Yeah, truly one of the most unique personalities that we have had on a Tar Heel team in a long time. You know, definitely a guy that was a leader, a vocal leader, a guy that really just the way that he played really fueled this team. And I think that's what's probably going to be missed the most about him if he ends up staying in the draft. I mean, I don't know. Did we get clarification? Did he hire an agent or is he still a guy that can come back?
No, he's going pro.
Okay. So, I mean, look, that's the thing that's going to be missed the most is the leadership that he brought, the intensity that he brought on the court. We said it multiple times, you know, throughout the year, you know, with him and Cormac Ryan, guys that could miss every single shot the entire night and hit one with 5 minutes to go. And all of a sudden just, I mean, light up like they had one of the best nights of their career. And that's the swagger that both of those guys brought. And now you're losing both of those guys. And that's going to be, you know, a tough pill to swallow. I mean, his versatility is another thing that is really going to be missed. I mean, a guy that could play pretty much anywhere, especially defensively from the two to the four spot. So, I mean, Carolina, this is one that is going to take some work to replace. And he's a guy that, yeah, I think just like so many other guys that we're seeing here now in the portal era are really making a name for themselves within a year. It doesn't take them long to, you know, become a member of the Tar Heel family and become guys that you will remember. And yeah, he will certainly be a guy that I think a lot of Tar Heel fans will remember very fondly.
Yeah, and look, as we'll kind of now just dive into the X's and O's of about this decision, I'm on the surface not surprised because given how bad this draft is going to be, he was already starting to climb mock drafts now that these mock draft people were really digging into the film. And I think whenever they leave the combine, this guy is going to end up being a mocked pretty late first-round pick. It's hard to say no to that because even in the NIL era, that's still life-changing money for a lot of guys. And but I do think, you know, the reason why it took him until April 20 to make the decision, I mean, almost a month after Carolina's season came to an end in the Sweet 16, this guy, as much as any other transfer recruit that Hubert Davis has brought in, this guy loved being a Tar Heel, loved playing at Carolina. You know, Hubert Davis talks all the time about wanting guys to appreciate what it means to put on that uniform, walk out that tunnel, play on that floor, play in front of 22,000 of the best fans in college basketball, play in one of the premier conferences of college basketball. And I think Ingram, as much as any transfer, embraced that from the word go. And it was evident when you go all the way back to the live action scrimmage that this guy was different. And you go back to the exhibition where they just beat the crap out of a Division II school. He was bringing it, you know, in those moments and in those instances. And you knew that was going to carry over. And so, you know, I think, you know, because there's still, I think we'll talk about what this means for RJ. I think if RJ were to come back, I think it would have heavily influenced Harrison Ingram's decision to return to replicate the regular season success, but get to a Final Four and maybe win a national championship. But man, it's hard to be upset at a guy for making this decision, even though they're making money now. But you have a chance to, you know, every kid dreams of playing in the NBA. If you perform at a school like North Carolina, it enhances your chances of getting to the NBA. And, that's why I sit here a month removed from the season ending, not surprised. Had he declared a week after the season, I would have been a surprise had he gone pro. But, you know, the more that his stock grew, the more that people were starting to talk about him being, you know, a late first-round pick, at worst an early second-round pick, it's not a big surprise to see Harrison Ingram forego his college eligibility and enter the NBA draft.
Well, I mean, I said the other day, like, I think it's one of those things where it had to be done for him because – I mean, look, it's no guarantee. I mean, you're talking about a guy that is going to go first round in this year's draft, because this year's draft is maybe the worst we've ever seen. And there have been multiple scouts that have told people throughout the NBA, this is the type of draft where drafting a guy first overall can get you fired if it's not the right guy. It's just throughout. There's never a point where you look at it and there's some sort of stability. So for him, I mean, becoming a first-round draft pick, I just don't know if that's something he would be able to do next year. I mean, maybe it's possible, especially since he would have been the second option offensively for Carolina. But, I mean, I think this was one of those situations where if he wanted to make sure that he could get to the NBA, it makes sense for him to go right now. And so for that, I mean, he can't blame him. I know that, you know, and I think the fact that it took him this long shows you how much he loves Carolina, because he was really considering that, because his stock for about a solid month now has been trending in the direction of being a first round pick. So I think ultimately it's probably the right move for him. You know, it sucks for Carolina. And the thing is you can blame just this pathetic group of draft prospects that are out there. But, you know, hopefully, you know, for Carolina, this is the guy that they will remember fondly. And now they can go into the transfer portal and find a guy that sort of fits along the same mold as him and really get a guy that can contribute on both ends of the floor at a really high level.
Well, you're talking about like 10 to 15 years from now, and we're looking back at the early years of the Hubert Davis era. Ingram's put his name in that same category as Brady Manek, as a guy that we'll talk about being a part of the early teams that set the foundation for what Carolina basketball would be under Hubert Davis. And I think this year was our first true glimpse of what this program will be under Hubert. And if that's the case, we're in store for a lot more winning and a lot of great regular season success, with just hopefully better NCAA tournament results. But, you know, you're talking about a dude that averaged over 12 points per game, over 8 rebounds per game, was the leading rebounder in conference play, was a third team All-ACC member. It felt like the bigger the stage, the bigger the game, he showed up. We'll always remember him having 19 rebounds at NC State, his 21-point performance against Duke in Chapel Hill in early February. So when he played against the rivals, he really showed up and showed out. And, you know, entering the tournament, we talked about for Carolina to go on a deep run, he was going to have to be an X factor. And I think in a lot of ways he was. I mean, Carolina doesn't get to the second weekend without his performance against Michigan State in the second round, a game that Carolina fell behind double digits in, but ultimately was able to come back and get a win over Michigan State to swing them to the Sweet 16. There's no denying here that this is a guy that, really was able to put his name in the minds and hearts of Carolina fans everywhere. You could argue that behind RJ, behind Armando, this was, the third most popular NIL jersey you would see being worn by Carolina fans when you would go into the Smith Center. I think for a guy to be, you know, just a part of the team for 1 year, that might have been a bit of a surprise, but that's just the way that people gravitated towards him, because this was a kid that was infectious, you know, and had a love and an energy that made him easy to root for. And the way that he played was easy to root for because he played relentless. And so Carolina's going to have their hands full trying to replace him from a production standpoint and from a culture standpoint, because when you look at the leadership that this team had this past season, like, yes, you can credit RJ. Yes, you can credit Armando for being guys that have been around the program for so long. But a big part of it were the transfers of Ryan and Ingram that really showed up and right away were vocal and were adamant about doing things the right way. And those were outsiders transferring into a program that needed that type of leadership after the disastrous season that we experienced the year before. So I think that's the thing that stands out about him. As great as he was on the court, he was equally great off the court. And it's why, you know, he's going to be as difficult a guy that Carolina's had to replace here in recent memory. What this does is this brings us to RJ Davis, because this whole offseason and the way we're going to feel about going into 2024-2025 kind of, you know, hinged on what these guys decided to do. And Ingram becomes the first to make his decision. We're still awaiting on RJ to make his decision. If you had to say on the day of learning that Ingram is going pro, do you think this maybe swings the needle in favor of RJ not returning to Chapel Hill for his super senior season?
I don't know about that, because I still feel like Carolina is going to do their due diligence. They're still working hard to find a big, despite what people, mostly Tar Heel fans, are saying, that this is a team that is just completely failing. They're also a team that, you know, is working hard to find multiple wing players of different types. So I think this is still a roster that can be built very similar to the one from this past season. And I think that will probably still be somewhat enticing for RJ Davis. The thing is I mean, it makes you wonder, how much longer are we waiting here? And hopefully, you know, maybe it's tomorrow. Maybe it's sometime early this week. You just kind of want some sort of resolution so that you know where Carolina stands moving forward. Are they going to have to go find a new lead guard? And again, I would imagine that maybe he has at least hinted to the staff in the direction that he's leaning. I do think it's very encouraging that he has multiple NIL deals that he has signed just recently. Now, the thing is that we did see guys do that last year before ultimately entering the draft throughout college basketball. But I do think it's still something of note. So, I mean, we'll see. I don't know how much this one really affects it, though, because I do think, especially if Carolina is able to land some of the guys that they're involved with, you still feel pretty good about Carolina's chances to compete and be one of the best teams in the country again next year.
Yeah, maybe this is just me being, you know, the internal optimist. I don't think this decision from Ingram really does anything for RJ. I think it was the other way around. I think if RJ would have announced first, maybe it would have played a role in what Ingram ultimately decided to do. You mentioned he signed multiple NIL deals since the season came to an end. He reposted a video on TikTok, kind of hinting at maybe a potential return for a super senior season. But RJ is a kid that understands. Right now, he's the most popular athlete at Carolina. And his decision has fans like you and I kind of waiting at every turn. So he's going to have some fun with it, because, you know, it's kind of cool when you're a college athlete that you have, you know, grown adults waiting to see what you're going to decide to do basketball-wise for next season. But, you know, I do think that depending what Carolina does in the portal will be continued to entice him to stay. And I've kind of said it from the jump, you know, with how the season ended and the way that he played against Alabama, is going to play a role in his draft stock, because, you know, that game, and it's not fair to look at just one game as an example, but the struggles he had against Bama were a big reason why he's not projected to be an NBA player, because he's a smaller guard that couldn't make shots over bigger guards in that game. He did it all season long, but, you know, you're only remembered for what you did last, and his last game he struggled. So I'm still confident. I think RJ Davis will be back for his fifth season. I think a chance to set records that would never be broken is very enticing. And I think above all else, he wants to get back to the Final Four. He wants to play on that final Monday night, and he wants to win a national championship. And if he looks at the roster and thinks that he has that chance, I think RJ will be back in Carolina blue next year. So now when you look at Ingram being gone, and we were kind of talking about this when we talked about Carolina recruiting Adoo Thiero out of Kentucky the other day, how do we expect Hubert Davis to go about replacing Ingram? Because as we've kind of mentioned here in the first 20 minutes or so, it's not going to be an easy task given his ability to be a two-way player, a great rebounder, a connector on both ends of the floor, all while being a vocal leader this team desperately needed this past season.
Well, I mean, I think that's your answer right there. I think your attention first turns to Adoo Thiero, a guy that fits pretty much the mold of what Harrison Ingram was to a T. Might be a little bit of a better defender, guy that can defend pretty much anywhere from the two through the four, which is exactly what they are needing to replace. But also a guy that, you know, a lot of people have said they really like his offensive game. Didn't play as much as I think a lot of people were hoping to see him play at Kentucky. That was one of the things I think that frustrated the Kentucky fan base a little bit throughout this year, was that they were hoping to see a little bit more of him because of the type of player that he was. But I mean, you're talking about a guy that, I mean, I think we'll have to wait and see a little bit if he can be nearly as good of a rebounder, but he still averaged 5 rebounds a game in the limited time that he played. So this is a guy with a lot of potential, and I think he fits that spot pretty much like a glove. But the concern with him is, did Carolina take too long, or did Harrison Ingram take too long for Carolina to really have a chance to land him? I don't think that they did, because it doesn't really seem like he has headed anywhere else, that there's anyone else that has received a visit, anything like that. So I think Carolina is still in a good spot. And to me, I think that's the only answer that you can have right now in terms of replacing him with a guy that fits exactly what he was a year ago. Oh, looks like Josh dropped off there for a second.
I'm back. Well, there he is. Carolina was a finalist for Thiero, so whether they got in too late or not, I think it's fair to say that they're in a really good spot. They were a finalist for him. He will become their top priority at that position moving forward. Like, yes, Kay Tyson on campus this weekend. I feel very strongly and confident about the chances he ends up at Carolina. But that's a guy that's being recruited more to kind of replace what Cormac Ryan did for you, a perimeter shooter that could stretch the floor. You need a guy that can play multiple positions, rebound the ball, defend, and do all those things at a high level. Thiero is that guy. And so I would imagine that Hubert Davis and his staff put on the full court press to try and land him and get him in Carolina. And if not, I would imagine they would turn their attention elsewhere. Something that they've had to do throughout the portal with some other rumblings as we've made our way through the offseason within the first month or so. And we'll talk about that when we come back. But first, we got to play you a quick word from one of our partners.
Hey there, Josh here for the Autograph Fandom app. Want to get rewarded for listening to our show? The team at Autograph, co-founded by Tom Brady, is redefining the fan experience by letting users earn points for the acts of fandom they take every day, like listening to this show. The Autograph Fandom app gives you access to your favorite UNC content in one place and offers rewards like tickets, exclusive merchandise, and much more. You're already listening to our show, but now you can earn points and get rewarded for it. Head over to the Apple App Store and search for Autograph Fandom Rewarded and download it today for free using the referral code HEALTOUGH. Link and code are also in our podcast description.
Welcome back inside the Four Corners Podcast, coming at you live on a Saturday night after Harrison Ingram announced his decision to enter the NBA draft earlier today. So now we'll get into some more portal talk, because just a lot of news and notes coming out of that front. I'm sure you guys are aware, you saw the rumblings, whether it was on Twitter, Facebook, if you live on the message boards, there are rumors, and a lot of it hasn't been verified completely, but some people within the know have kind of addressed it, that Seth Trimble could potentially withdraw his name from the transfer portal and return to Carolina. And I don't remember if we talked about this when he entered the portal, about this being a possibility. But if I didn't say it then, I'll say it now. If that ends up happening, I'm not going to be surprised. I understood why he entered the portal in the first place, to have a chance to go somewhere and be more of a primary ball handler and a bigger part of what or whatever that team does. And, you know, he was maybe looking around and didn't see that at Carolina. If, you know, RJ Davis comes back, you've got the five-star Ian Jackson showing up. But, you know, Carolina does have to replace Cormac Ryan. You've now lost Harrison Ingram. And if Carolina doesn't land the adequate replacements in the portal, it could open up a roster spot, you know, for an existing player to step into a bigger role. What do you make of those rumors, and what do you think the reception would be like if Trimble ultimately withdraws from the portal and returns to UNC?
Well, I mean, it shouldn't be anything but support. I mean, look, man, I don't think anybody could really blame him for looking and seeing if he could be a starter somewhere else, because another thing that was pretty much confirmed last night, and I don't know how much people were really questioning this, especially after Trimble entered the portal, Elliott Cadeau is coming back next year. He will be with this team. He will be hoping to take a step forward. There's a good chance that, at least from what we laid out there just a few minutes ago, that RJ Davis could return. So, I mean, regardless, I don't think that Seth Trimble was going to be a starter. And even, I know that people are saying that this could be hinting towards RJ not coming back, and that's the reason that he wants to come back. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, if RJ does not come back, first of all, he wants to play point guard. So that would mean that you would be looking at Elliott Cadeau, not RJ Davis's spot. And they are still going to go out and get a lead scoring guard. Like, there's no way that they are going to roll with a backcourt of Cadeau and Trimble and try to figure it out with the rest of the group. I don't think that's the way that they want to be built. So I think this is really just he went, he looked, and he didn't find quite what he was looking for. And at this point, especially, you know, with the way that college sports are now, no one should really blame him. But I think ultimately, you know, the staff probably did some work as well to convince him to come back. And I think he'll be bought in. I don't question him, you know, the fact that, you know, he'll be potentially looking elsewhere again after next season, or people will be worried if he doesn't start out the season as a starter, that he'll be a guy that will, you know, respond similar to what we saw with a guy like Aaron Bradshaw at Kentucky or something like that. He's not a guy that's going to let it affect his game. I think he's got a chance to be a real solid player. And from Carolina's perspective, this makes a ton of sense, because now, especially with losing Harrison Ingram, you're losing a lot of really good defensive players. And so getting a guy like Seth Trimble, who was your best defender a year ago, was right up there with Leaky Black even in his first season, I think that would be huge for Carolina on that end of the floor. And it's the reason why this staff should be pushing to make that happen.
Yeah, look, I'd welcome him back with open arms. And look, if you're a Carolina fan that wouldn't, then you just need to grow up and accept the reality of college athletics. And, you know, this was a guy that was a valuable piece off the bench this past year that other schools would look at and prioritize, that could offer him more minutes and offer him more NIL opportunities. And this is going to happen. And we've seen players from other programs enter the portal and end up going back to their original or the initial program that they were looking to transfer. I don't think if Trimble stays in the portal and goes elsewhere, I don't think this is personal. I don't think this is This is just a guy that is looking for an opportunity to play more. But maybe with, you know, Cormack being gone and Harrison Ingram being gone, there's more of a role here. Heber Davis wants to play with two point guards. And we've seen that at different times this past year with Trimble on the court, with Cadeau and others. And so, you know, they're, with him being the best perimeter defender on this team, they could build their defense around him as well. So I'd welcome him back with open arms. I'd encourage Carolina fans to do the same if that ultimately ends up how that plays out. But again, it's not officially official. Some other news in the transfer portal. Danny Wolf, the Yale transfer, committed to Michigan earlier today. He's going to play for Dusty May and the Wolverines in the Big Ten. And then some crystal balls have been awarded to Baylor for Tennessee transfer Jonas Adu, which leads us to a conversation. And Greg Ward, you know, commented, as he frequently does, and we appreciate Greg for jumping in. I'm getting a little worried about the five spot. And look, I'm not going to sit here and say it's not okay to be worried, because Carolina needs to find a replacement for Armando Bacon. I like Jalen Washington, but you're talking about a reserve big that played on average a little over 8 minutes a game this past year, stepping into the starting role. You'd like to have a little bit more security in your starting five. But, and I know you've seen it too, you know, whenever we're sharing and posting our articles into social media and these Facebook groups, just a lot of negativity around Carolina's lack of ability so far to land a big-time transfer. And, I mean, I saw people today. You know, this isn't going to be a tournament team next year. And concerns around Hubert Davis's ability to recruit the transfer portal, and maybe we just don't have the right guy to lead the program, or we got to do more in the NIL space. Guys, did you not remember last year? We got Harrison Ingram pretty deep into the process. Cormack Ryan a little late into the process. These weren't guys that were committed the second week of April to Carolina. For whatever reason, and a lot of it's because of how much homework Carolina does, because they're involved with so many transfers, it's going to take time. And so I just want to, you know, preach some patience here. Carolina's going to get a big man. It may not be the big man that you want. It may not be the best big man in the portal. But if we get Clifford Amore from Rutgers, are we going to be sitting here complaining about that? If Cade Tyson, the second best shooter in the country last year, ends up at Carolina, are we going to be complaining about that? I don't think so. I think with the job that Hubert Davis has done in the transfer portal so far, he's earned the benefit of the doubt, because he's gotten it right two out of the 3 years. And I'll reiterate this: Carolina doesn't flaunt their NIL the way some programs do, because for some programs, that's how they build their roster. But if you don't think our guys are getting taken care of financially the way that you have to basically fund a roster, then you need to do some more of your homework, because our guys are making their money and they're getting their value. So what do you have to say about just this negative energy that exists around the program from the fan perspective about the inability 3 weeks into the offseason to land a transfer?
Well, I got to be honest. I mean, the panic today is just crazy to me, because there were a lot of people that didn't even really want Danny Wolf. They looked at him as the guy that played in the Ivy League. Why would you really be pounding your chest over getting a guy like that? And then he goes off the board and all of a sudden everybody's freaking out. Look, man, Clifford Amore is still there, as you said, and Carolina looks like they've certainly got a fighting chance for him. Now, I don't know if the reports are true that he is really just looking at Georgetown and Alabama, but, I mean, I've seen other ones that have conflicted that and said that Carolina is one of the main ones that he's looking at as well. So I think if you landed him, I don't think you could be disappointed at all, because then you're talking about having one of the best shot blockers in the country, along with a guy that, you know, oh, by the way, finished with over 10 points per game a year ago. So a guy that can bring it on both ends of the floor. The other thing that needs to be stressed here is that just because there's a crystal ball prediction for Jonas Adu to land at Baylor doesn't mean that he is guaranteed to land there, because it would make sense if he had committed today, and who knows, maybe he ends up committing tomorrow there. But if he leaves his visit there and hasn't committed yet, just because there's a crystal ball, that doesn't really mean anything. That because we've seen it before. I believe there was a time last year where Harrison Ingram had crystal ball projections to land at Kansas, and Carolina turned up the heat, and that really, you know, changed everything. I think this is a case where Carolina, you know, if they can get that visit with Adu, then they've got a great opportunity, I think, to land his commitment. So, I mean, we'll have to see. Baylor is also a school. We've seen it, you know, we've at least seen what they're willing to give Jeremy Roach, $1.5 million. If they're willing to pay that type of money, I don't know if Carolina is going to put that type of money into a single player. So, I think that could certainly be a factor, but that's not something that I think Tar Heel fans should get angry about, because then it really makes you wonder, is Jonas Adu a guy that's looking more for the best fit or for the most money? And you should want guys that are the best fit. But in terms of if they miss out, let's say for some reason they miss out on both of those guys, and then people are wondering, well, where does Carolina go from there? Guys, there are still plenty of bigs that are in the transfer portal right now, including one of the best big men in the transfer portal that's not being talked about. And I get it. He's an undersized guy that comes from a mid-major conference. But Carolina could always get involved with a guy like Great Osabor. There's a couple other guys who are a little bit further down. Brandon Garrison, who's been in the portal for a while, that I think has a lot of upside. There's a few other options as well that Carolina can get involved with. Vlad Golden, who more than likely his recruitment will change a little bit now that Michigan brought in Danny Wolf. So I think there are still some options that Carolina could go after if they're getting worried about Adu and Amori. So I mean, the thing is we saw the report. Carolina wants a big. And if they want something in the transfer portal, they are going to be able to go out and get it.
Yeah, I mean, that's just everyone, just take a deep breath.
Okay, thanks for that simulation there.
It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. This staff is working night and day to get the talent and the depth this team needs to win an ACC regular season title and go deep in the NCAA tournament. It takes time. And look, you look the Kansas is really the only blue blood that's out here filling up its roster. And I guess Indiana as well. They've added two pretty big transfers so far. But outside of that, man, when you're a blue blood program, it's kind of the opposite of high school recruiting. It takes some time because guess what? You are involved with so many different guys, and you got to make sure you're getting the right guys that fit from a playing style and a culture style. So, look, if we get through this off season and Carolina didn't bring in a big and they didn't have any perimeter scoring, then we'll get on here and we'll yell and scream with you. But that's not going to happen. And, you know, for a head coach that, continues to do whatever he thinks is best for the program and it generally works out in a positive manner, I do think Hubert Davis has earned the benefit of the doubt. People need to lay off of him, because I think when we get this roster finalized going into the summer, I think we'll all be pretty optimistic about Carolina's chances to be a national title contender next season. With that, guys, that is going to wrap up this edition of the show. Before we let you go, we do encourage you to visit the website, heeltoughblog.com, where I was able to have you covered with all the news that broke today. Initially, it was supposed to be in Chapel Hill with Anthony at the spring game, but we kind of thought about it and said, look, there's potential for a lot of news. Someone needs to lay back. I decided to be that guy. And I was able to have you cover with Harrison Ingram's decision and Danny Wolf's decision to transfer to Michigan over Carolina. You can go back and check out those articles. With Anthony being in person, I'll have a first-person account of the takeaways from the spring game as spring football has come to an end for Carolina in 2024. We keep telling you, we keep stressing it. Visit the website, Heel Tough Blog, every single day for the best and the latest news and coverage for Carolina basketball and Tar Heel football. As for the podcast, you guys know where to find us. Every major podcasting platform, simply search the Four Corners Podcast and we will pop up. We're there. We encourage you guys to rate, review, and subscribe. That way you don't miss any edition of the show throughout the basketball off season. Well, with that, guys, it is going to wrap up this edition of the show. I do want to thank Anthony once again for hosting with me. We want to thank you guys for listening. And as always, go Tar Heels.
Guys, it just doesn't get any sweeter than that.